Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Portions of this podcast have been edited due to copyright.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Now it's time for the Mercedes in the Morning Pre-Show, Mix 94.1.
Good morning and welcome to the pre-show. It is Wednesday, November 12th. It is 5:30. Thank you guys for joining us coming off of Veterans Day. Thank you to all of our veterans, all of those who have served or are serving. We appreciate you so much. We were able to get the day off yesterday for that, but the big Veterans Day parade downtown and Odyssey was a part of that, which was really cool. How are you doing this morning?
Hey, I'm doing good. Man, what a weekend for me on this side. I was all over NorCal and SoCal. I left on Friday to Oakland and my friends and family, we hung out. I went to a housewarming party. And then since we had the other 2 days off, I was like, you know, I'm going to visit my parents. So on Sunday, I flew to San Diego, spent some time with my mom. And my mom lives like 2 hours east of San Diego. So I was traveling back and forth from San Diego to Imperial Valley, where she's from. And man, I feel like I was all over California.
It sounds like it. I'm exhausted listening to you talk about it. Did you have a good time?
Oh, the best time. It was so good. I love catching up with my mom. And I really love visiting my mom's city because it's a super small town. And I've talked about how she's one of the people on the that work for the city. And it's like when there's something new that opens in that city, that is the talk of the town. They have a donut shop opening up with a drive-through, and that's the thing. Oh my God, in 2 weeks, the donut shop's opening. Meanwhile, here in Vegas, we're like, new thing here, left and right. So it's nice to see.
It's nice, yeah, when you appreciate those little things, you know, yeah, that we take for granted a lot. So that's really cool.
Yeah, it was a great weekend on my end. What about you?
It was nice. It was relaxing at times. I mean, on Friday, my husband and I, we went out to dinner. We were off on Monday, but I wasn't really off. I went to speak at a school on Monday. And then yesterday, I ended up coming here to the station and getting some work done that I need to get a head start on. But it was good. Just kind of hung out this weekend, got a lot of rest, caught up on a bunch of shows and did some holiday shopping, which was just crazy. I was at downtown Summerlin yesterday for a couple of hours and just looking for some little gifts and just hearing the music playing.
Oh, yes.
And all of that was so cool. And I'm going to be out there later today. We're going to kick off it's such a cool concept. They have a vending machine down there that actually dispenses things that you can donate to people. It is just the coolest thing. It's called the Giving Machine. You've probably seen them there, and there's one at the district, but we're doing the official launch of that this morning, so I'm really excited about that.
I saw the press release for it. I'm like, oh, look, Mercedes is emceeing it.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
We're going to have a good time, so I'd love to see you out there for that. But yeah, just ready to get back into it. A shorter week for us, which is always a nice thing, but mm-hmm. I can't believe, like, Thanksgiving is coming up in 2 weeks, and just this year has gone by so fast. It's so crazy.
Yeah, tell me about it. My mom's like, so when am I going to see you again? And I'm like, well, it's definitely not for the rest of the year.
Maybe next year sometime.
maybe next year sometime. And then same with my dad. So when am I going to see you again? Oh, well, maybe not this year, but sometime next year, because I told you I'm planning that trip to the Philippines and I'm seeing James's parents. So I'm always being pulled in different directions for the holidays.
I guess it's not really a perk, but I was going to say the perk of being popular here. Everybody wants to see you, you know? It's always...
I would say not popular. I don't think popular is the right word.
I think so. Well,
thank you.
We are so happy to have you guys with us this morning, back live. Lots to come this morning. We are jam-packed with prizes. We have an early edition of Heads Up. Just after 6 o'clock, we're going to play for Andy Grammer tickets. We are resetting for Beat Mercedes. We had a winner on Friday, and so we are resetting a $100 diamond pendant up for grabs at 7 o'clock. Tickets to the advanced screening of Wicked for Good with the Mega Minute at 7:30. And then after 8 o'clock, Mark Anthony tickets. I'm telling you, we are going to be so busy this morning. So glad to have you with us. And it's Mercedes in the morning. Have you ever had a sleepwalker in your life? It's one of those things where I think it sounds funny until it's not. And you hear stories about people who are making sandwiches in their sleep or walking around their house with their eyes open, but nobody's home. And Steph, you've got one that's a little scarier, though, that involves your nephew in a bunk bed. What happened?
Yeah, so over the weekend, I saw my family, and my 7-year-old nephew, he came walking in with a Band-Aid on his chin. I'm like, oh, no, you know, thinking, you know, innocently, maybe he was playing on the playground or something like that. Well, turns out he has been experiencing sleepwalk issues and panic attacks, which is so sad, just him being so young. But he was having a sleepwalking experience like a couple days before I saw him. He fell off the top bunk bed while sleepwalking. And I want to say he wasn't really sleepwalking. He was more like trying to get off those little ladders. And when he went to go get off the ladder, he fell. My cousin heard a huge thud, ran in, and he was still asleep.
He didn't even wake up from that?
He didn't even wake up from that. He was, I don't know if it was the shock or whatever, but she kind of concluded it to sleepwalking because that's what they've been dealing with the past few weeks. And yeah, so unfortunately, it had to lead to ambulances coming and getting stitches involved. But that's one of the most scariest sleepwalking experiences I've ever heard.
It's not even sleepwalking. It's like sleep falling. He didn't even come to in a situation like that. That's wild. So when did he finally realize what was going on?
I think he was so in shock. He didn't even cry the entire time. He was just like, what's happening? What's happening? And it was all in the dark because my cousin was in the same room. Blood everywhere.
Oh.
Blood everywhere. And he was just like kind of confused. But that's kind of what they kind of concluded to it. It was the sleepwalking. And they said after that night, they took off that railing, those stairs. They said no more sleeping on the top bunk bed.
Are you a sleepwalker, or do you know someone who is? And I've always heard you're not supposed to wake them up because it could really startle them. And so you're just supposed to let them kind of gradually come out of it. But if you're that person, has that ever happened to you where you got yourself into trouble because you didn't even realize you were walking in your sleep? 702-364-9400. I would be traumatized forever if I woke up mid-fall like that. Like if my kids ever start sleepwalking, I would be turning our house into like a padded room. I would, you know, no stairs, no sharp corners, mattresses all over the floor, just in case. Oh my gosh, that would terrify me.
Did your kids ever sleepwalk, or did you ever catch them sleepwalking?
No, they haven't. Luckily, they didn't do that. I have a sleep talker. Brooklyn talks like a full on conversations
really
in her sleep. And so if we ever travel and we're in the same hotel room, it is just like, she'll just say something random like, no, thank you, I don't want olives in my coffee. And then I'm like, I go, what? She's like, I don't want olives in my coffee. I'm like, you don't even drink coffee. What are you talking about? It's just so, so random.
My brother told me when I was about 4 years old, he caught me sleepwalking out on the driveway. So he said he saw me. He was kind of confused. It was like midnight or whatever. In the living room, I'm walking out in my pajamas. I'm opening the front door, and he was like, what is this girl doing? I'm already midway in the driveway, and he's like, oh, nope, he caught me, and I don't know, is this something that runs in the family?
That, I mean, is that something that is genetic? It could be. Maybe that is something that happens to a lot of people. We're getting some texts here. This one says, I used to be a sleepwalker when I was little. My mom woke up and found me just staring at the TV, but I honestly don't remember anything. Also, the TV was off. Oh my gosh, that just sounds straight out of a horror movie. This one says, my kid sleepwalked out to the car and fell asleep in the back seat, woke up at a red light. I drove the rest of the way like a haunted Uber driver. Let's talk to Sarah. Sarah, good morning. Do you know a sleepwalker?
I do. My wife is a sleepwalker.
And have you ever like caught her in a precarious situation?
Yes, actually, our children woke us up or woke me up, and we found her inside the linen closet. She was sleeping.
Oh my gosh!
The linen closet.
Maybe she really wasn't sleepwalking. Maybe she just wanted some peace and quiet from everyone.
She's like, please leave me here.
Welcome to another episode of Mercedes in the Morning. And now, here's your host, Mercedes!
Hey, good morning and welcome to the show. We are back live. It is Wednesday, November 12th, 6:03. Thank you guys so much for being here. Busy show coming up, lots to get to. But yeah, we were off for a couple of days. We had Veterans Day off. And again, thank you to all our veterans out there who have served, who are serving. What an amazing time over at the Veterans Day Parade. Odyssey was out there and I saw the videos and it just looked like so many people showed up for our veterans, which is so heartwarming. I know we both have veterans in our family that we really look up to, and it was just a really cool day of celebrating those people.
And you know, I thought yesterday with the holiday and the just like TSA and the government shutdown, it wasn't that bad at the airports, Mercedes.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I came back yesterday from San Diego. The flight was great. It was like delayed a couple of minutes, but other than that, yeah, it was a really nice weekend.
I'm glad. I was just catching up on some stuff this morning, reading some stuff, and I thought this was really interesting. Be honest, is there anyone in Hollywood that everyone agrees on? Like, someone that truly has no haters? Because this thread I'm reading, it's surprisingly wholesome. It's really cute. The person who started it wanted to know, like, who is the celebrity that no one hates? No one. And the person who started it named five. They named Dolly Parton, Keanu Reeves, Betty White, Julie Andrews, and Jeff Goldblum. Those were the five celebrities that they mentioned. And as soon as they mentioned those five, the Jeff Goldblum haters came out. They started going off like, I hate Jeff Goldblum. Like, so many people went after that poor man.
You know, I don't know what it is about Jeff Goldblum. I don't hate anyone. But there is something about Jeff Goldblum that's just, it's a little weird.
Really?
You know when he did, like, the Wicked press, especially last year? The way that he talks is just, like, over the top. And it's just, I'm like, is he in a character right now? Like, is he playing the wizard? Or is he just, is this really him? And so I've seen all these press, and this is actually him. The way that he speaks, it's just his dialogue. It's not normal to me. And so I don't know if he's playing some kind of character, but there's something about Jeff Goldblum I just can't stand.
I never had anything against the guy. I mean, it's not like he was on my top five favorite celebrities, but I never thought, wow, can't stand that guy. He's very quirky, I will give you that, but I always thought it was in a kind of endearing way, you know?
I think he did an interview with Jonathan Bailey recently, and the People's Sexiest Man Alive, and he brought it up. And then, like, he kind of forgot about this whole sexuality thing about Jonathan Bailey, how he's gay. And I'm just like, I don't know if this is an act, or maybe he's just trying to be funny, but there was something just off-putting about that interview to me.
Okay, I have a question. Who is the celebrity that you are convinced no one hates? No one can possibly hate this person. It started out with Dolly Parton, Keanu Reeves, Betty White, Julie Andrews, and Jeff Goldblum on this guy's list who started the thread. But is there one in your mind that you just love so much and you don't think anyone else could ever possibly dislike this person?
I think it might be, for me, is The Rock. Like, something about The Rock, he's just, like, so, you know, like, I feel like he's very protective over the people that he loves. He's come out with some really great movies. I think that The Rock, I don't hear much about hate from him.
Are you serious? Like, he was a wrestler. He literally was, like, a bad guy at one point. People were, like, against him.
I think I just know him more for his acting.
I don't like him.
You don't like him?
I think he seems conceited.
Really?
Yes. I don't know what his vibe is. Now, granted, if he's standing in front of me, I'd never say that.
Hope you're not listening.
But I don't hate him like you did. I don't hate anyone. For me, tell me one person out there who could possibly dislike, and if you're watching Dancing with the Stars, Robert Irwin.
Mm.
I mean, this guy is so kind and funny, and he just radiates light. He doesn't even act like he's famous. He just acts so grateful. And so if anyone says they don't like Robert Irwin, I am convinced you're the type of person who yells at your server at a restaurant.
You know, I was talking to some friends about Dancing with the Stars this past weekend, and they're obsessed with the show. They are just hyping Robert Irwin.
Oh, he's
up.
Great. I don't want to give away, but he did very well last night.
Okay.
On the show. Very, very well. We're getting a bunch of text here, 702-364-9400. Keanu Reeves. Corey says Robin Williams and Paul Walker. Julia Roberts. What?
Julia Roberts?
I think she gets a lot of hate, doesn't she?
I don't know about hate, but I don't know about, like, the most endeared or loved. That's the first time I've heard Julia Roberts.
Mariska Hargitay. Stevie Nicks. Really? I feel like I've heard some negativity on Stevie Nicks before. Clint Eastwood. Okay, wait. Some of these I just don't agree with you guys on. Some of these I am so incredibly confused on. Interesting. Interesting takes. I definitely agree with Robin Williams. I would put Jennifer Garner on the list. I think she's so sweet.
I love... Is she the one in the Capital One commercials?
Yes.
Oh, I love her Capital One.
She's so sweet.
Yes.
Pedro Pascal.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. Just love that guy. I like starting the show on a note of love this morning. Let's do that. Not the hate side.
Jeff Goldblum, though.
That's why we're moving on from
okay.
that. We're
okay.
trying to start things positively. We've got so much coming up on the show this morning. Speaking of Jeff Goldblum, we've got those tickets to see Wicked for Good. It's the advanced screening. You're going to see it before everyone else. That's coming up at 7:30 with the Mega Minute. In just a few minutes, we're going to give you tickets to see Andy Grammer in concert. He's going to be over at Red Rock Hotel and Casino. And on the way next, we have What's Trending. Sabrina Carpenter's headed to Wonderland, and she is running the show. Wait until you hear how she made this happen. That's coming up next in What's Trending.
Are you guys ready?
Mercedes in the Morning's What's Trending? What's Trending on Mix 94.1.
Sabrina Carpenter is trending this morning. She is about to fall down a new kind of rabbit hole. She is starring in and producing a musical inspired by Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. And I mean, really, she looks exactly like Alice. This is such a perfect fit, right?
We were talking about the rumors about Rapunzel and maybe Sabrina Carpenter might be like Rapunzel, but Alice in Alice in Wonderland is the perfect fit for Sabrina.
It really is. It's for Universal Pictures. It's her first major studio lead role. She's not new to acting. I mean, she's been in Tall Girl, The Hate U Give, Girl Meets World. So this is not new territory for her, but this time she's actually calling the shots behind the scenes too. She actually came up with an idea herself for this new version of Alice in Wonderland, and she pitched it to Universal last year. She had a complete lookbook and everything. They say it's not going to be like your traditional Alice in Wonderland, but I love the confidence she has in pitching it, and they went for it. So what's interesting, I just can't wait to see how this turns out. The movie's being written and directed by the creator of Hustlers. Remember that movie? Loreen Scafaria?
Mm-hmm, of course.
Yeah, and then Mark Platt, who is producing on Wicked, is also going to be a part of that. So no word yet on the plot. But if it does not include a musical number about Espresso and Wonderland, I'm going to be really disappointed.
You know, I'm not a huge fan of Alice in Wonderland. I know it's a classic, like the cartoon. The characters really freaked me out as a kid. I wasn't even a fan of the one where Johnny Depp played the Mad Hatter. But I'm excited. I'm very excited for Sabrina Carpenter's
It might
one.
Give you a new outlook on it, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like you. I remember watching it as a kid, and I was just very confused by the whole story. I just didn't really understand where they were going with it. But yeah, Sabrina is now Alice, and that is what's trending.
It's time for Heads Up with Mercedes in the Morning on Mix 94.1.
All right, let's get our contestant. Emma, you are caller 20.
Woo-hoo.
Let's do it. Andy Grammer tickets up for grabs. We just need you to pick a category. Do you want to go with Last Call, Oscar worthy, or Code Blue?
Oh, let's do Code Blue.
Okay, operating room nurse day is on Friday. So these are all things that are associated with the operating room, okay?
Oh, great.
I take it you're not in the medical field?
I'm in the dental field.
Oh, hey, that's kind of related. I think you'll be okay. All we need is 6 and 60 seconds. Let's do this. You ready?
Let's do it.
Okay.
You guys got this. Your 60 seconds for Heads Up starts now.
Okay, doctors will scrub in for this.
They'll scrub their hands.
They'll scrub in to go. Yes. This is what they put on their hands to not get germs everywhere.
Soap, antibiotics. No,
Their rubber. Made out of rubber.
Oh, gloves.
Yes. This is what they wear. They're usually blue and
scrubs.
Yes. This is this is the type of doctor that makes you go under. They are a what?
Anesthesiologist.
Yes. They're gonna lay you on this if you're about to have surgery. You're gonna be laid down on the what?
On a bed, on a gurney.
Let's pass. Okay. This helps you breathe, and it's attached to one of
oxygen.
What does that come in? It comes in a what?
Oxygen tank.
Yes. This is how you get your meds intravenously.
Oh, IV.
Yes.
Nice. Great job, you guys.
Emma, you got it. Congratulations.
That's awesome. What's the thing that they lay on?
Operating table.
Oh, the operating.
That was going to be hard. We were going to dance around that one. So I'm really glad you passed on that. But you just got tickets. It's Mercedes in the Morning. You guys, we need your help. Do you know a great teacher that deserves some recognition, that deserves a pat on the back? Because if so, we need to hear from you. We're looking for our November Teacher of the Month. Every month, we want to hear about those incredible teachers out there that are doing amazing things for their students. And we're going to pick one randomly. And the winning teacher is going to get some really cool stuff. A $150 Visa gift card, courtesy of Findlay Chevrolet, will get them another $150 Visa gift card, courtesy of Silver State Schools Credit Union. And of course, that really beautiful personalized Mercedes in the Morning plaque from H&J Trophies. So all you got to do is go to our website and nominate them. It's so easy. Mix941.fm. Click on the contest tab, and that'll do it. Just short and sweet. Who is it? Why do they deserve to be nominated? We want to hear about it. And entries close on Friday. So get those nominations in today. And thank you to Findlay Chevrolet and Silver State Schools Credit Union for making Teacher of the Month possible. Again, that's mix941.fm. Coming up next, we have the Hot 3. Starbucks baristas are planning a big strike right in the middle of Red Cup Day. We've got the details on that. Also, science says starting work before this time is basically torture. And the surprising Thanksgiving injuries that are sending people to the ER every year. We've got all that coming up next in the Hot 3.
It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
The Hot 3 is powered by Barry's Downtown Prime Inside Circa. Now taking home orders for Thanksgiving.
Tomorrow's Red Cup Day might look a little different. Starbucks baristas at more than 500 unionized stores plan to walk out right in the middle of one of the company's busiest days of the year. Yeah, they say Starbucks hasn't been playing fair at the bargaining table. Starbucks says they're ready to negotiate if the union shows up. So it's a lot of he said, she said over coffee. Workers say they're going to keep escalating until they get what they want, which could mean more strikes ahead. So if your barista looks extra tired tomorrow, maybe don't ask for extra foam. Give them a break. It's been a rough one for them.
I haven't been to an actual Starbucks location in a long time. I usually go inside Target and stuff, or Albertsons, which are really, convenient. But I mean, the last time I went to a Starbucks location, I bet it was just probably super busy. I can't imagine tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of like the equivalent of the TSA workers and stuff going on strike. But for Starbucks, it's gonna really put some major stress on everyone involved. So yeah, hopefully they get this worked out before. That would be amazing. And we'll definitely keep you posted on that. Also this morning, speaking of work, apparently science has confirmed what we've all been saying for years. Mornings can be the worst. And a researcher from Oxford says anyone under the age of 55 is not wired to start functioning before 10 a.m.
That's all of us.
All of us. Our brains and our bodies are basically still asleep, which explains a lot about how we look in those early morning meetings. They say that starting early can cause sleep loss, mood swings, even health issues. The fix, they say later start times for schools and for offices. So translation, let us sleep in and we'll all be nicer people.
Look, I do love this idea, like starting later. If we started our morning show at 10 a.m., that would be incredible. But the thing right now for me is daylight saving time. What time would we be done? And at what time would everybody be getting out of school and work? It would be so dark. My whole brain would be messed up.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that when I was working at the TV station and I would leave and it was dark outside and it was like 4:15, 4:30. I'm like, what is happening? So yeah, that was crazy. I think I'm at the point where I've been doing this long enough that I've acclimated to it. But there is something to be said for being done before everyone else.
Oh yeah, I love it. I love it to a point where James asks me to run all these errands.
Yeah. Hey, you're not doing anything. Can you go run the errands for us?
Like today, I got to go to Costco to return Momo's dog food. I got to go to Best Buy to do a screen protector. And he's like, oh, can you do this? Can you do that? I'm like, I need a break, babe. Leave me alone.
Why do you have to return his dog food? Did he not like it?
Momo is such a picky eater. So we switched over to, because I told you he has a food allergy, he cannot eat poultry. No chicken, no duck, no turkey. He gets ear infections. So we've switched him over to a salmon diet. And so we're like, oh, you know what? Let's go to Costco because they have the huge pack of salmon kibble. And a lot of listeners and friends have been recommending it. We gave it to him. This guy sniffed his food. He ate around it with his wet food, and he's been doing that for the past 3 days.
He's just like wanting nothing to do with it.
Yeah, and so now I got to return it, and I got this big old bag walking into Costco with, the big bag clip that you use for chips?
Yeah.
That's on the salmon dog food right now.
No, you can just get them a big old piece of salmon there. They have really good salmon.
Like you're talking about the ones in the refrigerator.
Yeah. Really spoil them. All right. Finally, this morning, Thanksgiving might be about family. It's about gratitude, but apparently it's also about knife wounds and burns. ER doctors are talking about Thanksgiving injuries and how Thanksgiving for them is one of the most dangerous holidays of the year. The top reasons that people end up in the ER: slicing their hands while carving the turkey, frying a bird without the proper gear, and throwing out their back in a friendly family football game.
You're talking about when they're fighting, like play flight fighting?
No, a football game, when everyone's like, let's go out and play football, and you're playing with the family,
yes.
and Uncle Nick, he's like, oh, my back. You know, something goes out.
I thought you were talking about, like, you know, that there's football games that play on Thanksgiving Day. Like,
well,
Cowboys
maybe.
And the Commanders are like, no, the Cowboys are going to win. No, the Commanders.
No, no. Actually, going outside and touching grass. Also, stomach problems from eating like it's your last meal on Earth are on the list. His advice is to use cooking mitts. Warm up before you play and maybe let someone sober handle the knives when you're in the kitchen.
Last year for Thanksgiving, I'll never forget, I tried Teeny's mac and cheese. You know that viral one that was going? Oh my God, it was the most stressful thing. I thought I was going to burn the house down because you have to whisk it really fast. I forget what part of it. It's like, it's some French term that they use, the chefs. And I'm whisking it really fast. And it's all clumpy. I'm like, babe, hand me the flour. Babe, hand me this. And he goes, calm down. Take a deep breath. I think that's the last time I'm ever going to make Teeny's mac and cheese.
That like does not even sound fun to me. That does. You know, it's, you're going to Costco. They have the pre-made mac and cheese there. Day saved.
Yep, in the oven and it's done.
It is Mercedes in the morning. Have you guys ever noticed the fancier the car, the less likely it is to stop for you if you're in a crosswalk?
Oh, they're the worst. I see them on the roads all the time.
Like, if I see a Bentley coming, I'm already saying a prayer. I'm like, oh my gosh. But this is backed by science. There's this new study out that says for every $1,000 a car is worth, courtesy drops by 3%.
Oh, I mean, I could see that.
That means the guy in the Bugatti would run over his own grandma in a parking lot.
Oh, no, the ones that I see on the roads here in Vegas, Lamborghinis.
I mean, if I saw a Lamborghini approaching and I'm in a crosswalk, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm like freaking out. I'm going to get hit. But researchers say, and see if you guys agree with this, 702-364-9400. Researchers say rich people are statistically less kind and more likely to cheat or ignore others' needs. They even tied it to something called the dark triad, which is narcissism, psychopathy, and Machiavellianism. So basically, they say the rich are built different, but not in a good way. So what do you think? Do you think that money makes people selfish, or do selfish people end up rich because they bulldoze their way there?
You know, I think of a friend who was, you know, we were in the same income, you know, 10 years ago. She's just started her own business not too long ago. And her business has taken off. And I've noticed there is something about her. I don't know if it's selfish. I don't want to say she's being selfish, but I do know she's being more snobby. And the way she's being more snobby is just like, doesn't have time for her friends anymore. She wears her Prada glasses indoors. But the one thing that I notice a red flag, and I've seen it with other friends, is if they have a gym membership at Equinox.
You think they're snobbier than rich people? Or they're part of the rich people?
They're part of the rich people.
Okay, good.
I mean, come on. You can afford a membership there? That is insane. So when she started working out there, she would set her phone up. She would record her workouts. I'm like, girl, you're not a fitness influencer. Plus, you're getting snobbier by the day. So I see that in her. Like, her, I don't know if it's selfishness. I think it's just more snobbiness, in my opinion.
Who do you think is like the snobbiest group of people? In fairness to your friend, is she really snobby, or sometimes we may look at that lifestyle and think, I want that.
Okay.
And maybe we're a little jealous. I'm not saying you are jealous, but you know, sometimes we're like, oh, I wish I had that. And then you kind of turn negative towards them. Or is she just really changing?
You know, that's a good point, because I've noticed in her, the way that she's been posting more is more about herself.
Okay.
Like she, and I can't say that in person that she's indifferent, but she has her, she's gone more, you know, stuff on her face. She's gone things done. And I'm like, okay, she's really, really taking it there. Versus 10 years ago, she wasn't that way.
I wonder if we were put in that position, if we would do the same thing.
Maybe.
Or would we stay true? It's like, it's something you got to think about. Who do you think is the most snobby group of people? It doesn't even have to be rich people. 702-364-9400. Josette, good morning.
Good morning.
What do you think?
I think when it comes down to it, rich people, they don't need anybody. They're already rich and financially secure. So that makes them very independent.
And some people take that as snobby.
Household. I don't need, it's not even, it could come off snobby, but I'm independent. I'm me.
Yeah. I know. I get what you're saying. Like, some people want that and they say, oh, they're rich, they're showing off. But you're like, you know, maybe that's just your new lifestyle. You don't need to go to anyone for any sort of, you know, acknowledgement. You don't need to go to anyone to get anything. You got it all on your own. This text says, I think this is mostly true, but I feel like depending on how you came up with money, that maybe you'd be a little more humble if you grew up without having money.
Yeah, I see that.
I feel like there is a group of people that is, in my opinion, the rudest of them all. And I, you know what? I got to call them out because they are the high-end salespeople. Not all of them, but the ones that will give you that up and down look before you even open your mouth when you go to one of those fancy stores.
Oh, you're talking about like the luxury high yes. end that you would go to a certain place for those type of bags. Yes.
I told you this story a couple of years ago. My daughter, she wanted to really splurge and there was a perfume she wanted from one of these high end luxury stores. So I was like, okay, we'll go in there. They would not give us the time of day. They didn't, like, they looked right past us. Other people would come in afterwards. And I finally had to ask for help. But then I was like, why do I want to give these people her money? You know, it's like you're auditioning for approval in these places. They don't smile. They don't greet you. They just silently, like, judge your shoes. Like, they're scanning your net worth there. I think they're more rude than rich people.
Ooh, yes. And you know what? My friend worked for a popular watch brand, and he has admit that they do that. They size people up and down to see if you've got money. He checks their nails, if their nails are done, if their eyebrows are waxed. Stuff like that, they train them for to see, like, do you have an eye for the people that have money? It's so interesting.
Yeah, I don't understand that. It's like, I want to buy something, but yet you're not letting me because you don't think I have the money to buy something.
Yeah.
Okay, it's wild. We just got this text. It says, I had a friend unfollow me and made me her follower once she started making money on social media. Such a snobby, better than you thing to do. This one says, I think when people have money or are doing things to make them feel better about themselves, they might just post more and do more because they feel better, not about showing off.
Okay, yep, interesting.
This one says, I think money just amplifies who you really are. So if you were kind of snobby before you had money, it just makes you really snobby. Natalie, hey, good morning. What do you think?
Well, good morning. I think, you know, we're all put on this earth for a reason, right? We are blessed. And when he blesses those with more money through any way, either being born into it or working hard for it, it becomes their obligation and responsibility to help everyone else. And that's just the way I believe. And I think that's very imperative because if they were to do that, we wouldn't have the poverty that we have today.
Yeah, that is a valid argument. And it's funny because I see, like, the really rich people that they give stuff away, but you don't know about it because they're not publicizing it.
Oh, yeah.
It's the people that publicize it that you're kind of like, eh, you know, it's interesting. It's an interesting phenomenon. Ramon, who do you think is the snobbiest group of people?
What about these people that have mansions, these huge, you know, 10,000 square feet homes with an acre of land? And they're like, oh, man, you rent? They look down on you.
Oh, do they all do that, though?
Or, you know, when they're like, oh, where do you park your RV or your boat? and then you come back with them, well, you know, I don't have a lot of house to clean. Like, oh, just get a cleaning service every month. Like, come on, man. I don't got that type of money.
What do they say? More money, more problems.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, it is time to win. Time to play the Mega Minute. And we've got such a cool prize to give away, you guys. We've got two tickets for you to enjoy the advanced screening of Wicked for...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver,
And my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for Mercedes in the Morning's Mega Minute.
And Mia is caller 20. Congratulations, Mia. Yay.
Hello.
Are you ready to conquer the Mega Minute?
Ready.
Okay, I hear you have some help this morning. Who is going to be helping you out on this?
We have daughter and son.
Daughter and son. All right, Mia, daughter and son. You guys ready to do this? We've got these tickets for Wicked for Good, the advanced screening, 10 questions, 60 seconds. Get them all correct, and the tickets are yours. And just whoever knows the answer, just shout it out. If I hear the correct one, we're going to move on to the next question. Okay, guys?
Okay, sounds good.
All right, guys, if you're struggling with the question, you can say pass, or if you get one wrong, and if we have time at the end, we'll go back to those questions. In the Mega Minute, it starts now.
Which singer plays the character Glinda in the Wicked movies?
Ariana Grande.
Yes. How many years are in a century?
10.
No. What is the name of the university Glinda and Elphaba attend in Wicked?
Wait, what? University that's
one more time.
What is the name of the university Glinda and Elphaba attend in Wicked? What day of the week is 2 days after Friday?
Sunday.
Yes. What is the name of a female chicken?
I don't know. A hen.
Yes. In what musical is the song Seasons of Love from?
Oh, I don't know.
Pass.
On the TV show Blue's Clues, what kind of animal is blue?
A dog.
Yes. In The Wizard of Oz, what is the name of Dorothy's dog?
Toto.
Yes. Who is the original lead singer of One Republic?
Oh, pass.
In The Jungle Book, what kind of animal was Shere Khan?
Oh, darn it.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mia and son and daughter. That's a bummer.
Yeah.
Honestly, some of these were kind of tough. How many years are in a century? That's 100 years, not 10 on that one. The name of the university Glinda and Elphaba attend in Wicked, it's Shiz University. And what else here? In the musical, in what musical is the song Seasons of Love from? That's Rent. Ryan Tedder, he's the original lead singer of One Republic. And then we just barely got to it. In the Jungle Book, the kind of animal that was Shere Khan was is a tiger. I'm sorry, guys. That means we did not get a winner for the Mega Minute. But that means caller 20 right now. You are going to this advanced screening that we're having of Wicked for Good. Caller 20, you get the tickets right now. Our number is 702-364-9400.
It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
The Hot 3 is powered by Barry's Downtime Prime Inside Circa. Now taking home orders for Thanksgiving.
All right, there's a new study out that's giving even more reason for people to be talking about those GLP-1 drugs like Ozempic, Mounjaro, Wegovy. Researchers found that colon cancer patients taking those meds were half as likely to die within 5 years compared to those who weren't.
Wow.
Half. That is not small. The biggest survival boost showed up in patients who started off with higher BMIs or other health issues. Scientists think that it's the anti-inflammatory effect of the drugs that might be playing a big role here, not just the weight loss. These medications were already changing conversations about diabetes and obesity, but now they could be also changing cancer survival rates. Somewhere out there, I think there's a pharmaceutical company exec who just did a happy dance. But it sounds like, you know, the prices of them might be coming down, so more people will start being able to have access to them.
It's crazy. About a few years ago when these weight loss drugs came out, like, my point of view and perspective of it was like, oh, here we go, another way for celebrities just to buy their way out of weight loss. But the more and more things and studies that come out like this, I am just like so happy for it and that the science is working for these drugs.
There's a lot of benefits that people are getting along with the weight loss, you know, better blood pressure, lower cholesterol, things like that. Like it's a cause and effect sort of thing. And there's going to be side effects to every drug, but there's also side effects to being overweight. And
yes.
So it's like, which one do you pick there? So some really good news on that. I was happy to report that this morning. Also this morning, you know, when 4:30 hits and it looks like midnight outside.
Yep.
That's when the seasonal sadness starts creeping in. And experts say seasonal affective disorder, or SAD, hits hardest in the fall and winter when sunlight disappears and your motivation goes with it. And it's not just the winter blues. People can feel sluggish. They can sleep too much, eat everything in sight, or just lose interest in things they usually enjoy. There's a psychologist from Rutgers who says that with the right tools like light therapy, getting outside even when it's cold and just moving your body, that can make a huge difference. It can also feel impossible to pull yourself out of it, but even little changes, they say, help. And if you've been feeling low for a while, they say don't brush it off. Talk to someone. You don't have to wait for daylight savings to get your light back.
Yeah, I know we talked about it on a joking side and a serious side, but do you feel like, you told us last week that the seasonal depression starts to kind of hit after the holidays. Is this every single year or just some years?
It usually is every single year. The thing with me is I get really overwhelmed emotionally. At times where, like, you would be happy. Like, have you ever been so happy about something that you start crying
about
it?
Yes, of course.
And so, like, that, it literally happened to me the other day. Both of my daughters were here, and we all went out and we did like a girls' day. And at one point I started tearing up and my daughter's like, what's wrong? I'm like, I'm just so happy. It's the three of us and like we're spending time together and you guys are fighting. And they're like, why are you crying about it? I'm like, I don't know. I get overwhelmed with stuff like that. So when the holidays are over, I get overwhelmed because I was like so happy and so grateful for everything. And then it kind of comes to an end. I don't know. There's a whole mess with me, you know?
No. I'm on the same page as you when it comes to like for example, this past weekend, I saw both of my parents, I saw friends and family I haven't seen in years. And then there's that slump of like, it's all done.
Yes.
What am I looking forward to now?
It's
that depression. And I hate how this is called sad and you also get sad over this depression.
It's hard out there for a pimp, I'm telling you. Also this morning, if you've ever hosted someone and started quietly counting down the hours until they leave, science says you're not alone. There's a new survey out that finds most people are good with guests for about 6 days. After that, it's, oh, we loved having you, but internally it's like, please leave by breakfast, get out of my house. About a third of people start dropping hints, and 1 in 5 say they just flat out will tell you, okay, it's time for you to leave. Parents give their adult kids a little more leeway. They give them about 10 days, but in-laws, 5 max. Most say they actually like hosting. They just don't have the space for it.
I am a terrible host. I've actually... Some of my family members have stopped texting me because I usually, after a day, I'm pretty over it. What about you, ladies?
Well, wait a second. What, they text you what?
You know when they're coming out of town, like, hey, can we stay at your house?
Oh, yeah.
And some family members had just stopped texting me. They're like, yeah, this guy.
Well, what do you do when they're there that makes them not want to text you anymore?
I'm just kind of like, so you just got here. When do you guys leave?
You just flat out ask them, like, when are you leaving?
Are you
ever rude about it? I think you're just blunt, and some people take that for rudeness.
I don't think I'm blunt, but I think it's also the questions I ask before they even get here. I'm like, oh, well, like when my son was younger, we're like, well, I have a crying baby. Are you okay with that?
No, I'm not okay with that. Well, you better find a hotel. You know?
After 2 days, Mercedes, yep. After 2 days, I'm starting to get restless. Like when you're either if I'm staying at someone's house or if they're staying at my place, after 2 days, I'm like, I'm already ready to go. 6 days? That's way too long.
There's only one person I let stay at my house, and it's my mom. Everyone else, I'm like, hey, there's a great hotel by my house if you want to. We'll come by, meet you for breakfast on me. Like, I can't do it. It throws off my whole routine.
Oh, I love the dogs. The dogs can stay, but y'all, you got to stay at the
yeah,
hotel.
Yeah, that's okay. What would you do if your ex owed you more than closure? There is a 34-year-old woman, and she says her ex-boyfriend should literally pay her back for wasting her childbearing years. Okay, so they were together for 10 years. 10.
Mm.
She put her career on pause because they had agreed that he was going to be the main provider once they started a family. And then at 38, he suddenly decides that he's just not ready for marriage or kids, and he walks.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So now she is demanding that he pay for IVF or egg freezing, and says that he cost her time, he cost her fertility, and he really cost her the life that she had planned for with this guy. It's messy, but I think it hits a nerve. What do you guys think? 702-364-9400. Have you ever been in a relationship where you built your future around someone who just kept promising you someday? And you know how it feels when you realize, well, I don't think someday is ever going to come. The woman, she feels robbed. He says he was just honest about the situation, but can someone really owe you for lost years in love? Should emotional damage come with a bill? 702-364-9400.
I think I'm just so frustrated for her. I mean, imagine 10 years. That is a whole decade. And if they, in the beginning, were saying, you know, he wanted kids and they want a family, he has a legit reason that, like, or she has a legit reason for feeling like, you owe me the time that you said that we were going to have kids. IVF, those things, those are expensive. And if she's frustrated at the fact that, like, I wasted a whole decade of my life thinking I was going to marry and have kids with this guy, and all of a sudden he just changed his mind. Like, that is so frustrating that men think that, or I don't want to say all men, but women, we hold this, and then the egg-bearing process, and then she's losing eggs. Meanwhile, men, they can just reproduce as much as they can, you know?
I get where you're coming from, and I do empathize with her. I really, really do. But I feel like, you know, relationships, they don't really come with refunds. You know, nobody forced her to stay for 10 years. You know, she picked that. It's painful. Don't get me wrong. I get it. But does he really owe her money for a decision that she made to stay in the relationship? You know, he's allowed to not want kids, but his timing was terrible on it. It doesn't sound like he was very nice about it, but asking him to pay for her IVF, I feel like that's more of a revenge thing that she's trying to get on him.
I mean, is it revenge if he's the one that caused her to lose that, like, biological window? And then,
but is he the one that caused it? Well, she stayed.
I mean, yes, but she in hopes that they would have a kid, in hopes that they would get married.
Well, hope is great, but it's not a guarantee. It's not a contract. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Ramon, what do you think as a guy? What's your take on this?
So I agree. 10 years is a long time. A lot of your life. But I completely disagree. Love and all these agreements they had, it's a risk. She took the risk and, you know, no reward. And he has, you know, he has, you know, the right to change his mind, because, you know, marriage and kids and family, it's a big thing. And maybe he, you know, he dwelled on it and was like, maybe this is not worth it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are talking about the woman who wants her ex to pay her for her stolen childbearing years. And wow, people have some strong opinions on this one. To recap, she's 34. He's 38. They were together for a full decade, and now he decides he's just not ready for marriage or kids. So now she wants him to pay for IVF or egg freezing, since she says she's wasted her time and it's cost her the chance to have children sooner. Some people say she's absolutely right. She invested 10 years into a man who led her on, delayed her future. And others say no one owes you a refund for love. 702-364-9400. Hey, Tammy, good morning. What do you think?
Hey, good morning. No, it's her fault. She hung out. She waited. There's no way that you should get reimbursed because you chose to live on a hope.
Do you think that she has an argument, though, for the time that he wasted? Or do you think that, you know, you always had the ability to choose for yourself and just walk away?
She had the ability to choose. We all have the ability to choose. Just because it doesn't happen doesn't mean it's his fault. She could have pushed the issue or walked away and found somebody else.
If she trusted his word, though, and built her choices around it, is that, like, the same as, like, just choosing to stay into it? You know what I mean?
I understand what you're saying, but no. She still chose to live on hope and promises rather than build the life that she wanted for herself. Why rely on somebody else? Make it happen.
Yeah, I definitely see your point on that one. Thank you so much, Tammy. Let's talk to Fabian. Fabian, what do you think?
Hi, good morning. I think she's still young enough to still have babies and build a family. She shouldn't be all butthurt about it. And you can't take it. You can't take it to court. That would be vindictive. If they were married, she can probably build a case. By emotional damage, but if they weren't, she's going to have to go civil, and she might have to go through psychologists to prove that she's, you know, been damaged just to reap the rewards that she wants.
There's a lot of layers to this for sure, and I think that's a totally fair point. Lots of women have kids well into their 40s now. Science has come a long way, but I just feel like her anger isn't just about, like, the biological clock. I think it's just that pain and the feeling of being strung along for so long.
Like a little bit of resentment, you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, 10 years of waiting, believing that this person was on the exact same path as you and kind of making decisions around that future and then finding out that he's never going to follow through. But it's not that she thinks her life is over at 34. I think she feels like he kind of stole that choice for her to do things differently sooner.
It's 10 years. He stole that time from her, in my opinion. That's kind of 10 years that she could have been finding someone else that wanted to have a baby.
So what do you think, Alexis? Good morning.
Good morning. I'm definitely on her side about it. I feel for her so bad. A similar situation happened to me. I was with my ex from 12 years old all the way to 29. And I had a miscarriage my first time, and I feel like right after that, like, the relationship kind of was foggy. Then we had our son, we bought this big house, and he left.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so sorry.
So I definitely feel for her. I'm just now starting to date again. Well, not just now, but I'm in a relationship, for like 3 years now. But I can definitely say that pain still hurts.
Yeah, I can totally understand, Alexis. Thanks for sharing that with us. I mean, honestly, I don't know that there's an invoice big enough to cover 10 years of emotional labor and lost time, but you can't really Venmo someone for that.
Imagine the
Send
guy.
Send a Venmo request.
$40,000 for my IVF, please. Thank you.
Yeah, the little note was there, like, best decade ever.
It's time for Heads Up with Mercedes in the Morning on Mix 94.1.
Hey, Wendy, you're caller 20. Hello. You ready to play Heads Up?
Good morning. Yes, I am.
All right, Mark Anthony, tickets up for grabs. Let's pick a category. Do you want to go with Crikey, It's Wild, Breadwinners, or Pop Quiz?
Let's do Pop Quiz.
Pop Quiz. Okay, November is National Education Month. So these are all things associated with higher education, okay? Think school.
Okay.
We have no problem with this. 6 and 60 seconds is all we need in order to get you these tickets. Are you ready to do this?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, guys, your 60 seconds for heads up starts now.
If you go to college when you're a freshman, you usually live in these.
Dorms.
Yes. This is 3.5, 3.8. This is your what?
GPA.
Yes. You have to pay this in order to go to college. You have to pay the
tuition.
What? Yes. This is, well, on the first day of school, the professor will give you one of this to tell you what you're doing for the
club.
Yes. This is not a sorority, but for guys.
Fraternity.
Yes. I'm going to pass on this one. This is when you work at a company just to see what it's like to work there while you get college credit.
Intern.
Yeah, internship. Yes. You got it. Congratulations, Wendy. Nice job. You are on it. It's Mercedes in the morning. What is your weird workplace rule? Do you have one? Because Target, they have a new one, and I feel like it's kind of giving like love bomb energy. If you work at Target, how are you guys dealing with this? Does it drive you crazy? Do you think it's cool? I guess they've rolled out something called the 10-4 program. Have you guys heard about this?
10-4 program, no.
Yeah, so if an employee is within 10 feet of a shopper, they have to smile. Then as they get closer, they're supposed to make eye contact, wave, and say hello. And if they get within 4 feet, they're told to ask, how's your day going? Or if you need any help finding anything. So if you walk into Target and an employee locks eyes with you and waves and starts asking you about your life, they're not like flirting with you or anything like that. They're literally following the new company policy. 702-364-9400. Do you have a weird rule? Do you work at Target? Do you have to do this? Honestly, I think I'd last one shift before before HR called me in for like smile fatigue or something. I'm friendly, but if I have to smile like I am auditioning for Disneyland or something, every single time someone walked by, I don't think I could do it.
That's exhausting, especially during the holiday season when people are shopping mad. And like, you know, you're the one that wants to put the smile on their face. But really, is it really helping, or is it just annoying those customers?
That's a good question. I do like being acknowledged when I'm in a store. I do want them to acknowledge that I exist. Hi,
yeah.
How you doing? It's the persistence for me, and I've worked in retail. They've told us suggestive selling, go after, bring, you know, I know I was that annoying person. So I just think there's a very fine line, but would you be able to handle this, or do you already work somewhere with a weird rule? Like never sit, or I don't know, always answer the phone before the third ring, or something like that. What is it for you? I used to work at this law firm over the one summer when I was in college. Martin Brown was his name.
Okay.
And the paralegal was also the office manager. And I don't think she liked me. She would always get on me for the way I answered the phone. So you're supposed to answer the phone. Martin Brown's office. And that's what I said. Martin Brown's office. And she said, would always say, not Martin Brown's office. Martin Brown's office.
What's the difference?
She wanted me to emphasize Martin instead of Brown.
Oh my God.
And so I would forget. And I'd just be like, Martin Brown's office. And she's like, it's not Martin Brown's office. It's Martin Brown's office.
Ugh. What is, I mean, I get it. Maybe to sound more friendly, but that's just micromanaging at that point.
Oh my gosh. It was the worst workplace rule ever. I would screw it up every time to the point she would have her friends call to make sure I answered it right.
Oh my gosh.
They'd hang up and then all of a sudden she'd pop up and like, so are you answering the phone correctly? It was the weirdest workplace rule I've ever had to deal with in my life.
I remember back in the day, we would have staff meetings every Thursday. And our boss, he made us, if we had a question or if we were speaking, we had to stand up wherever we were sitting. So think about it. A conference room table. Every time someone had to speak, you had to stand up.
It's I would like, never speak.
Relax. It's just, he's like, it shows, you know, that you're confident and that you're willing to speak in front of people and your public speaking skills. Just stand up when you speak. I'm like, so yeah, exactly. Just like you, I never spoke.
No, I would be so quiet. Mila, hey, good morning. Workplace rules. What do you think?
You know, I'm from San Diego. I'm just here a little bit. And I used to work for Catamaran Resort Hotel, and the 10-4 rule it's been going on for like over 20 years.
Yeah, this is like not a new thing. It's just new for Target. But so you would have to like approach people, smile at them. Did it get exhausting for you?
No, I got used to that, and my smile is just permanently there.
That actually makes me really happy.
But not if your smile is permanently there. Now it's just stuck.
Yeah, it's like, someone hit you in the back when you made that smile. We're getting some texts. This one says, I'd failed Target day one. I used my resting bee face as a defense mechanism. This one says, I work at a spa, and we have to say namaste at the end of every phone call.
No, you can't.
I die a little each time.
Namaste. I couldn't get used to that. Like my pleasures of the world, I couldn't do that.
Ramon, have you ever had a weird workplace rule?
So going back to this 10-4 rule, also working in hospitality in a hotel, this has been the norm. It wasn't too bad, but I remember working fast food. I worked for KFC, and when you roll through drive-thru, right, it was usually, hey, welcome to KFC, right? How can I take your order, whatever. But no, they changed it to welcome to my KFC. They wanted you to show ownership. And I was like, but I don't want to own a KFC, bro.
Welcome to my KFC.
Yep, I was like, what?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so if you forgot to say it, did you ever get in trouble for it?
Oh yeah, because the regional manager would roll through drive-thru just to check.
Oh my gosh, that is so funny. Someone said, that's great. People who look miserable when they're working, I love when they're approachable. I will go to Target just for this. This one says, I love namaste, lady. I'm just going to say that. I work at a construction company.
It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
The Hot 3 is powered by Barry's Downtown Prime Inside Circa, now taking home orders for Thanksgiving.
All right, let's talk about... I just deleted one of my stories, so I'm trying to get back on track here. Did you guys see the story about the woman who broke her own neck while yawning?
Yes, I heard about it in the news.
Oh my gosh. I just deleted that one, but I'll get to that in just a second. Let's talk about some of the other things that are going on this morning. So if you are rushing around this morning, whether we want to admit it or not, most of us are not perfect drivers. And there is a new study out that says that there are two times of the day when drivers are most likely to forget every rule that they have ever learned in driver's ed. And that is, we just passed one of them, 8:27 a.m.
Oh my gosh.
And then the other is 7:15 p.m.
Okay.
So morning rush hour, evening commutes are apparently the chaos zones of the world. Half of drivers admit that they're more likely to break the law when they're alone. And 26% say they speed regularly. Nearly half say they drive worse when they're in unfamiliar areas. And a brave 15% actually confess that they bent the rules because they really had to go to the bathroom. Have you ever like broken the rules or sped or something because... you had to go to the bathroom?
Yes, guilty. That was me a couple weeks ago. It was here after the radio station. I don't like to go, you know what, here in our restrooms.
Yeah.
So I do it after the show when I'm home. That's one of the first things I do. I had to go so bad. I was dodging and swerving on the 215. I was like, move out the way. I got to go. But luckily, there were no cops around.
And what kind of excuse do you give if you do get pulled over for something like that? Do you tell the truth or do you just make something up?
I would be honest. Like, I suck at just, I haven't been pulled over in so long, knock on wood. But I think I would just be like, officer, look. Just give me the ticket because I got to go to the bathroom real bad. And that's the reason why I'm speeding. So I'll meet you in court.
I wonder if they've ever been in a situation where someone just had to go so bad and they couldn't wait any longer and they had to deal with that.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sure it's happened. I'm sure it has.
I've heard of things like if you get into a car accident and you, you know, go an accident on yourself, that there's like a less of a, I don't, oh gosh, what is the study? I totally forgot. Basically, you're not getting as much, do you know it, Ramon?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay, one of those things where if you go like pee yourself during an accident, they're going to mark you like less from your insurance or something crazy like
really?
That.
Really?
Yeah. They're going to what?
So something about your insurance will be like, oh no, they went to the restroom, emotional distress or something like that, and they had to go, they peed themselves. themselves during their car accident. So, oh God, I got to look up the study.
I'm very concerned about this. Also this morning, according to a new Pew Research study, the average American's ideal age to die is, what is it for you guys?
Mine is 100, only because I want to hit the triple digits.
Okay. That's I think in my mind, that's mine too. Like, I just picture it being 100.
I want to say 88.
88?
Yeah, 88.
Why are you selling yourself short?
Because I just have a feeling deep down inside it's going to be 88. Oh. And is it ideal? No, but I feel like I'd be fine with it.
It's a random number.
Yeah, that is random. Well, this is even more random because they say the average American's ideal age to die is 91. So that's really random. Most people say they want to live into their 80s or 90s. But how well people are aging depends on a lot of money. And about 61% of wealthier seniors say they're aging very well compared to the 39% of lower income seniors. And the wealth gap, it shows up everywhere, you guys. There's, you know, confidence in their savings and their physical health and their mental clarity and even hobbies. So still most older Americans are staying pretty positive. So yes, the ideal age may be 91, but only if you're not like spending it arguing with like insurance companies and things like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think as long as, you know, I'm healthy and I'm good, my brain is still there, I can still understand people, 100 would be fine.
I just don't want to be a burden on anyone else.
Yes.
I don't want anyone else to be like, we got to take care of her. Oh, and you know, to have a caretaker is, to be a caretaker is one of the most selfless things ever. And I just don't want to put that on someone. If I'm like good and, you know, granny doing my thing, like I'm totally fine with that.
My mom says she's down to be in a senior home. She goes, I'm cool with being a senior home. I want to live with other seniors.
As long as it's a fun senior home, you know? Finally, this morning, a 36-year-old mom in the UK says that a simple morning yawn nearly cost her life. Her name's Haley Black, and she was at home and she was making a bottle for her baby when her daughter yawned. And you know how they say yawning is contagious?
Yes.
So she reflexively copied her, and the stretch triggered an electric shock through half her body, and it froze her arm like midair. Yeah, at first the doctors didn't believe her, but hours later, the scans showed that two of her neck vertebrae had shot forward into her spine from the force of the yawn. She was rushed into emergency surgery. She only had a 50-50 chance of survival or ever walking again. Yeah, all because of a yawn. And after a 6-month recovery, she was in a wheelchair. She slowly learned to walk again, but she still lives with this chronic pain. Yeah, her story went viral on TikTok when she captioned the post, I broke my neck yawning. And she says now she panics every time she feels a yawn coming on.
I would never want to yawn after that ever again. And like, you know, have you ever tried to hold in a yawn or a sneeze or anything?
A sneeze is the worst. Oh, God. That's the worst. I'm afraid my brain's gonna explode when I do that.
My cousin holds in her sneeze. She'll sneeze and close her nose.
The worst. I tweaked my back sneezing.
You did?
Yeah, it's the dumbest thing ever. Big ol' achoo and ow.
Wait.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I was like, man, how old am I getting?
That's hilarious. Our neighbors, allegedly, they fractured their rib from coughing too much. Like, they had the flu or something, and they were coughing too much, and they said that they fractured a rib. I don't know if I believe him or not. He's the type of neighbor that likes to brag about everything.
But, sounds like you can just get injured just by standing there.
Like, I don't even know what's a flex. Is that a flex remote that you tweaked your back by sneezing?
It's the first time I've heard it out loud, so it's kind of embarrassing.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.